We're going to turn this evening to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. So if you'll turn with me there, I want to encourage us with God's word tonight as we look at it together. And then we're going to share in prayer this evening as well. Thank you for being a part of this journey at Quail Springs Baptist Church as we search for a pastor. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? These are times and change like this that make it a little hard. But I want to say a great word of gratitude and thankfulness to the staff. Dr. Kelly, he's been phenomenal. He's been such a great stabilizing factor. Last Sunday night, for example, with the Lord's Supper and business meeting, what a sweet time of fellowship without a senior pastor. So the Lord is taking care of us. He's watching over us. He's protecting us. And I'm grateful. And I wanted to share that word of thanks for us corporately, collectively, to be grateful for what the Lord is doing during this season. Seems like it goes in phases too. So like at the beginning when we hear that pastor's leaving, you know, it's like, how will we make it? You know, what's going to happen? Are the wheels going to come off of something? I know they will at some point. And then we moved into a groove, I would say, a few months into it, where it was like, hey, you know what? I think we're making it. I think we're going to be okay. Okay, maybe it was just me. But anyway, you know you're asking the same thing. But now I sense that we're entering into yet another phase of a time without a senior pastor, which is, okay, we know we can make it, so let's go ahead and get a senior pastor. I mean, when is that going to happen? And those questions I know come to me frequently. They certainly would come to you. Or I would assume that they were, is we're trying to fill in the blanks because there's the angst of what's happening, what did you hear, what do you know, is the committee working, are they not, we don't hear anything. So there's kind of this rise and angst that's happening at the same time that we're entering kind of that most confidential phase. We just can't share. There's just things that aren't appropriate to share. And by the way, you know, you're also looking at a guy that's coming from the other side of the fence, a minister who goes through call processes or even growing up in a pastor's home of what that's like and the pressures that ministers face during these seasons. So it's just a real heightened time. I do want to say a special word of thanks to Jim as we respond to those kinds of questions as he chairs the pastor search committee. As you'll see information come out in the bulletin, you'll see an article that'll come out in the Messenger to be able to talk about what are the processes? What have the processes been? What has the committee done through these months? What are they doing now? How are they working that process now? So I'm grateful to the committee and for that clarity as much as they're free to share. But there's just a certain level that they're not able to share with us. So it's a time of angst. Has anybody else experienced that? It's just a little, okay, what's happening now? A couple of weeks ago, Dr. Kelly encouraged us as a church to fast and pray. And I think those times are good, but I also think that there's another consequence of that, which is, hey, we fasted and prayed. What's happening? You know, I thought we were going to hear something. And so, you know, there's that pressure that's happening as well. But we're a praying church. Tuesday night, Melanie Shantz and the prayer committee will host for those leaders that serve in the prayer ministry their annual dinner. I'm looking forward to being a part of that. It's a sweet time of fellowship with those folks who really are in the trenches of prayer week in and week out in the prayer ministry. Just a couple of weeks ago, Melanie received a phone call early in the day, even, of somebody driving by the church. They saw the billboard that said, for prayer, call. And they called and said, hey, we need you to pray right now about this situation. So the prayer ministry is a focus of who we are here at Quail. I think it is kind of funny at times, though, that we get into a mode of we've done all we can, so I guess we'll pray now. But that's not the case for us in the midst of really anything that we do here at Quail, but certainly in the midst of this pastor search. We really have been mindful to stay in a state of prayer throughout the search. And that's what I want us to do tonight is I'm going to lead us to a passage in God's Word to give us some principles in how we could even pray tonight. I'm going to focus us in a time of prayer, but I wanted to use tonight, because we've had a lot of other activity on Sunday night as well. We've had concert, we've had special emphasis with Dr. Bandy, which has been phenomenal. But I wanted us corporately tonight to be able to join our hearts together and pray. Often when we talk about praying, those passages bubble up, like pray without ceasing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make a request known to God. So those kind of bubble up. You've heard those. Or even this passage, as we'll look tonight in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says this, "And my people, and if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." What I'd like for us to do tonight is take just a moment to look at this passage, glean some truths and principles from it, and then take a concerted time to pray through this passage, but also to be able to pray for the Pastor Search Committee and pray for life tonight. So this is a big Wednesday night that's coming up as well. Solomon was just on the heels of getting instruction from his father David about how to be able to finish the temple, and he had done that. He completed all that work, you know, all those intricate designs, all that scale that was given to him of how to be able to piece that together, and that was completed. Solomon was doing that work as the kingdom was united, and that's where we find ourselves, is that that has been completed, and they moved into a zone of dedicating that temple in service unto the Lord. And it says this in 2 Chronicles 6, beginning in verse 12, "Then he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands." Solomon had made a bronze platform, and you see the size there. He stood on it, knelt on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven, and he said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to your servants who will walk before you with all their heart, who has kept with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him. Indeed, you have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand as it is to this day. Now, therefore, Lord, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him, saying, you shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your sons take heed to their way, to walk in my law as you walked before me. Now, therefore, Lord, the God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with mankind on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house which I've built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to the supplication, O my Lord God, to listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eye may be open towards this house day and night, towards the place which you have said that you would put your name there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place. Listen to the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel. When they pray towards this place, hear from your dwelling place, from heaven, hear and forgive." And then skipping to verse 26, "When the heavens are shut up and there's no rain, because they've sinned against you, and they pray towards this place, confess your name and turn from their sin you inflict on them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and your people Israel. Indeed, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land which you have given to your people for an inheritance. If there's famine, if there's pestilence, if there's blight or mildew, if there's locust or grasshopper, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever the plague, whatever the sickness is, whatever the prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing his own affliction and his pain and spreading his hands towards this house, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and render to each according to his ways, whose heart you know, and you alone know the hearts of the sons of men, that they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you've given to our fathers." And finally in verse 40, "Now, O my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place." Can you see that in your mind's eye? What an incredible sight that would be to see Solomon on that altar praying this prayer before the people in this type of dedication. And then we see the follow-up. If you look with me in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11 through 16, it says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. For now I've chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. What a good word. And I'm reminded with passages that we pull out like this, that we kind of tease out of Scripture to put them back in their place and look at them in the lens of all the context of what's being said there. I think it helps us to frame our mind with where we should go with this passage. But with that said, I do want to look at this verse in particular. What can we glean, even as we pray tonight together, from 2 Chronicles 7:14? And how can it give you peace tonight as we continue to walk on this journey together without a senior pastor? Here's the first thing that we hear in this verse. If my people, who are called by my name, here's the first word of comfort that I want to bring to you all this evening, and that we need to remind ourselves in this season in particular. What do we know? 1 Peter 2:9. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We're his possession. Romans 8:15-17, you received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So, brother and sister in Christ in this room tonight, believer, those who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you are adopted for eternity. Here's my fear, is that in times of uncertainty and change like we're going through, that we can confuse the change or challenge or even suffering that we may face with the question of, am I really God's child? Does he really love me? Does he even know me? Don't get confused. Here's what Jesus says. My people called by my name. Listen, our lives could be snuffed out on this planet. We're his. There's no challenge that we could face, no difficulty that we could walk through that would ever separate us from being called his child. Let's not go there. I'm not saying that you are, but what I love as I studied this passage, I just got pumped up because it's like, Lord, thank you. It doesn't matter what happens on any plane, in any field, in any way, we're going to serve you with gladness because we are your children, regardless of circumstances, regardless of suffering, regardless of any kind of difficulty or confusion or hardship, we're his. The second thing is this, we are his children. But he says this, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves. Listen, challenging times are uncomfortable. Change is hard. We want to control. We don't like the unknown. Can I get an amen on that? We just don't like that state, that status of entropy. It's uncomfortable. It's not good. And I think the negative side of that, well, there's a couple of negatives. One is, I think, unfortunately, it's a laissez-faire kind of attitude, which is, I'm just going to totally let go and let God, which I've heard and kind of understand. But the deal is like, I still have responsibility. The Lord's calling me to do some things, even in the midst of change, challenge, and difficulty. But I think on the other end of the scale is also evil, which is trying to control, trying to find out, trying to grasp, trying to dominate the situation. When there are simply things that the Lord may lead us through, like when he came to Abraham and said, I want you to go, pack up your things, I'll tell you more as you're on your way about where you're headed. And he said, I'll follow you. I feel that way at times in my own life, is that the Lord wants me to be humble in that there are certain things that are out of my control. They're out of my power. They're out of my dominion. And I think when I'm his son, my people called by my name humble themselves, we come into a state of saying, you're the boss, you're the king, you're the Lord. We're going to do responsibly what you call us to do, Lord, but you're the king, and we trust you. We really, really trust you. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So the question I'm having to ask myself is, am I resting in this season in the Lord, or am I restless? Am I trying too hard? I would say this too, is that, you know, for me, for other staff members, you know, there are changes happening for everyone. So this message is for me tonight as well. We're members here at Quail Springs. I'm going to be working with a new person, a new boss, a new leader who's going to have different passions and different drives and different ways of doing everything. So for me, it's not Sundays and Wednesdays, but it's Monday mornings at 8:30. What's that going to look like? So we're all processing this together. Lord, we're called by your name, and in humility, we follow you. And thirdly, that we pray and seek your face. We pray and seek your face. Now, I've comboed these because I like this combination, prayer and seeking your face, because, again, do we run to the Lord, the Father, with our list, or do we run to the Lord in prayer to seek his face? Here are the things I'm concerned about, God, and it's this and that, and here's the other thing I need you to address and take care of, and all those, or, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to rest in you. Do we seek him, or do we seek things from him? It says this of Moses in Deuteronomy 34:10. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Such a beautiful image. Matthew 6:31, 34, those new disciples that were wrestling and worried about all kinds of different things, he said, don't worry about what you're eating or drinking or wearing for clothing. The Gentiles seek these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need those. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his face, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then turn from our wicked ways, when we draw near to a holy God, when we draw near to his face, the light of who he is exposes our sin. And in this passage, we're reminded yet again, my people called by my name, humble themselves, pray and seek me. You're going to need to turn. Turn from your wicked ways. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says this, but don't let this one facet escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day, which I think is appropriate for this season that we're in. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Lord draws us to him, and in drawing us to him, we have to turn from sin and self. When we experience those things, a people called by his name, we've humbled ourselves, we pray and seek his face, we turn from our wicked ways. He says, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will hear. Heal. We know that he hears us. Just a couple of weeks ago, as Dr. Kelly's been preaching through Acts, we ran across a great man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was in the centurion guard. He was in Caesarea. He was faithful to the Lord and the Lord's people by giving his alms and in prayers to God. And he was visited. As a matter of fact, in Acts 10:30, it says, Cornelius said of his encounter, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Earlier in that chapter, it was described by that person that showed up to Cornelius as a fragrant aroma to the Lord. Do you believe that your prayers make it to God's ear? Do we believe that? Here we have evidence of just one encounter, confirmation that your alms and your prayers have made it as an aroma to the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord hears our prayers. He hears your heart. He sees your tears, your joys, your struggles, everything that you're walking through. He hears us and he forgives. Listen to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us and he heals and he restores. Listen, there is a new day coming when everything is going to be restored and set straight. There's a lot about this broken world that breaks my heart. We've seen that this week. We hear people that are battling cancer. I talked with someone tonight of someone who's walking on that grim journey. Others that are walking with those that with that long, slow goodbye through dementia and Alzheimer's that is absolutely just tears people's hearts out. The violence and degradation that we see in our culture. Listen, there's a lot that's broken. But there is a day that's coming that's new. Revelation 21 says, then the one seated on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And he said, right, because these words are faithful and true. And he said, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things. And I will be his God. And listen to this. He will be my son. We're heirs, sons and daughters of a heavenly Father who loves us with all of his heart. My people, called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Here's what I'd like for us to do at this time. I want to lead us through a time of prayer. You can stay right where you are. If you feel led and you want to come up and kneel at the steps, you're welcome to do so. But this will be our time of decision tonight as we think through this passage. I'm going to pray through this passage. And then I'm going to lead us through some items to pray for this pastor search, the pastor search committee. And then I'm going to lead us to pray for light tonight that the Lord would use us. Because I believe that he hears us. And I believe that this will be a sweet aroma to the Lord tonight. So let's bow our heads together and let's focus our hearts together as a congregation, as a body in prayer. Lord, thank you that we can enter into your presence because of our own accord or any right things that we've done or any access that we think even is from us, Lord. There's no way. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for providing the pathway, literally the cross over the bridge so that we can have access to you, Father. We're so thankful, Lord. So we pray, God, that you would hear our prayers tonight as we lift these up to you together, Father, joining together to speak with you. So, God, I pray that tonight as we speak with you, that you would allow us to see your face, to know you better, to be comforted by you and by your Spirit, Lord. So we pray that your presence would be with us even now, Lord. We desire that more than anything else, that you would meet with us. As you focus in prayer now, just where you're seated, you may want to pray aloud or pray silently. But would you just talk with the Lord for a moment that if there are times when you're scared or feel alone or distanced from the Lord, especially in suffering or difficulty, would you ask him to remind you that you are his child and that you bear his name through Jesus our Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you that when we approach you as our brother and friend and our heavenly Father, that regardless of circumstances or suffering, anything that we face, that our relationship with you never changes. And Lord, we thank you tonight for that confidence. The Lord calls us to humility. And so if you found in this situation at the church or in other situations that you encounter at work or with your family, that beyond healthy responsibility that you're trying to grasp, control a situation or dominate a situation, would you ask the Lord to help you to humbly submit to him to be the Lord of that situation. Even as we draw near to the Lord tonight, He could be revealing things in your life that you need to confess to Him in faith and repent and turn from those things and turn to Jesus. Lord Jesus, during this season, Heavenly Father, we trust You. We trust You to act. We trust You to teach us and to mold us as well. This is Your timetable. It's simply that. This is all about You, Lord. And You're molding us and shaping us. You want us to follow You in discipleship. So I pray, God, that You would give us hearts that are open to Your challenge and change in each of our lives. So we listen to You, Lord, and we follow You as Your children humbly. Lord, help us to live holy lives and encourage one another. Now I'd ask for where you are to pray for the pastor's search committee, that You would lift up Jim Hawkins as the chairman and others that serve on that committee. I know that many of you know them by name, but in general, let's pray for that committee now, that the Lord would give them strength and wisdom in this season. Now, would you pray for any candidates that are going through a process with the committee? The Lord would very clearly speak to them and share with them His will for their life. Lord, we thank You for Dr. Kelly and for his leadership during this season, stability and faithfully preparing and then presenting the word each week, Lord. Such a responsibility to feed the flock here, God. And so we thank You for him, and we pray that You would bless him, Lord, more than we ever could through words or deeds. You know all about his life, he and Angie and the boys. So we pray, Father, that he would be refreshed in ways that can't be explained. So God, thank You for him. We lift him up to You. I would ask that You pray now for your staff here at the church, the pastoral staff, the music and worship ministry staff, education, missions, all the facets of ministry here at Quail Springs and those that serve and lead. Lord, I pray that You'd protect us as a staff, that You would watch over us, protect us from the evil one who would love to kill, steal, and destroy in every way, spiritually, emotionally, to bring disunity, discouragement. I also pray for the congregation, Father, in the same way, that You would protect us, that You would give us strong hearts, Lord, to trust You completely, to follow You completely. Again, that we would learn during this season, Father, to trust You wholeheartedly, Your timetable, the decisions that You're making, Lord, that we fall on Your throne, God, that we bow our knee to You and trust You with everything. So God, we lift up this entire process to You. And Lord, with my brothers and sisters in this room tonight, we thank You for the emphasis this year of "Here am I, Lord, send us." God, we thank You for what You've done with this emphasis through the year. I think that's been displayed through souls that have been baptized, Lord. We're so grateful that You are sending us and using us. Just as we contacted the homes in August, we have another opportunity this Wednesday night to shine light in our community through kind word, through word about Your church, opportunities of service and ministry here, Lord, or just a simple gesture. So God, I pray that You would use us this week as we fan out across this city to be out of this place and be used by You, Lord, at a strategic time. So I pray that You'd protect us from any accidents or difficulty, that You'd even give us good weather that evening, just a break for us to be able to have high impact with people. We thank You for the homes that have offered up their yards to be able to be used in this way. So we pray that You'd bless them as well, Lord. But God, we pray that You would move and that You would give opportunity for the gospel this Wednesday, Lord. Father, we thank You for this sweet time together in Your presence tonight. We thank You for Your living word. But God, we thank You for time to be able to meet with You, to be able to talk with You. We love You, Lord, with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.